Yes, sir. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN LA. LZ, my friend, it's great to be with you again.
What's up, bro? What's up, LA? Woo! Is this what the afternoons feel like, George?
Oh, yeah.
Is
you get to wake up.
The afternoons feel like?
Yeah, you get to wake up later. The music feels, you can feel the music a little more. Yeah, it's great.
I'm not smelling like coffee.
No.
This is weird.
Well,
this is weird. It's going to take me about 5 seconds to get used to it.
To quote the great philosopher Keyshawn Johnson, yes, you won't smell like a teacher.
I will not smell like a teacher. No, but y'all going to learn some things anyway. Whoop, whoop. See what I just did there?
Yeah. And by the way, the playoffs are here. Give it to me, Laura. Give it to me. Come on. I need a little Kesha and Pitbull in my life today. Come on. Give it to me. We've got two games in the books. We got one tied in the second quarter right now. Philly and those stinking Celtics. Come on, Pitbull, let's go. All right, LZ.
All right, sir.
People give my guy Pitbull a lot of grief, but that's a lot of basketball lingo he rocked in that song there, right there, very quickly, in a matter of 30 seconds.
That was fast. I'm not going to lie. That's impressive. That's impressive. On a scale of 1 to 10 commons at the All-Star game, where would you place it?
I don't know. I think that's the best playoff hype song that we've ever created at ESPN.
So that's better. That's better than Common's All-Star Game weekend introduction.
Well, that's the 10. Like, no, but I'm talking about playoffs. We did that Black Eyed Peas one that one year that wasn't.
Yeah. Who's in charge of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Not me, clearly. If it were me, it would be Pitbull every year.
No, he is like the hype of the hypest of the hype man. He's able to take songs that has a chorus or like a bridge that's already like really, really popular and make us forget about that song.
Yes.
That takes a lot of talent.
Yes.
That takes a lot of talent. So I give my man some credit.
And it's funny, LZ, because that's what the Lakers are about to do to the Blazers. There's a lot of hype right now when it comes to the Blazers and the Lakers. And there's I like to call it kind of the Blazers hype machine. And you've got a lot of guys, people who I respect, former players, like our buddy Charles Barkley, our pal Tim Legler. We'll hear from him in a little bit, too. A lot of people are talking about the Blazers, and they're hyping them up in this matchup against the Lakers. Our buddy Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast had this to say. Go ahead, Laura.
The Blazers were the worst option for the Lakers, and the worst option prevailed. So they have to play that. I talked to a scout who said that there are 4 or 5 seed masquerading as an 8. And they lose both home and road. And the reason I say both home and road, obviously you play at home. It's a huge advantage. It's an advantage in all sports, especially basketball. Well, the Lakers were the best road team in the NBA this year, partially because they got great support on the road most of the time, and partially because LeBron loves playing on the road. He's arguably the greatest road performer in NBA history in the playoffs.
So, LZ, let me ask you this. Brian does bring up some astute points. A lot of Laker road games are filled with Laker fans. LeBron loves to silence the crowd. He loves the silencing of the crowd more than he likes hyping up his home crowd. And there are some guys that are killers that way. How do you feel that lack of home, that lack of ambiance, right, an atmosphere will affect the Lakers?
Zero. You talk about the hype machine for Portland. What about the hype machine that the Lakers need home court advantage to be successful? That, to me, is a hype machine. As long as LeBron James is healthy and near his peak, which I still believe he is, I don't really count the environment. Not since the freaking Dallas Mavericks finals that everyone remembers. Not since that finals has LeBron James looked bad in any playoff series, regardless of location, regardless of where game 1 or 2 or 3 or 7 are played. So I don't really understand why this idea that, you know, the Lakers not having home court advantage is going to be detrimental to their long-term success. This isn't a young squad. This isn't a squad that doesn't have battle-tested veterans, all-star guys on it. I mean, come on, dog. It's ball. It's just ball. When you're that experienced, you've had that much success together. This is just ball.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, okay? I think that there's a reason LeBron James is undefeated in the first round, okay? Now, granted, more times than not, he has played an Eastern Conference weakling, right? But there have been some times, even in times that he has been on good teams, they haven't always taken the regular season so serious, so they've played better competition occasionally. Never a team this good. I'll give the Blazers that. I don't think there's any doubt. But I do think that while the Blazers are a live dog in this sense, I think anyone who is out here trying to tell me that they are going to beat the Lakers, barring a catastrophic injury to either LeBron James or Anthony Davis, I'd like to see your drug test. Because to me, there's no way in hell, as good as Damian Lillard is, and he has been fantastic, he's deserved the MVP in the bubble. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But at the end of the day, for as much talk as that we hear about, oh, who's going to guard that backcourt for the Blazers when you look at the Lakers? Who the hell's going to guard LeBron James and Anthony Davis on this Blazers team? That, to me, is my question. Like, that's my easiest retort. They have two top five players. You can't guard either of them if you're the Blazers.
No, you can't. And I don't like to focus too much, to your point, on comparing the tier, the top tier guys, the ones who are going to be giving the heaviest productions. I like to look at that next tier and ask myself, who do I need to be concerned with if I'm the Lakers? Now, you may not like this, George, but I'm one of those guys that think the Trailblazers are a formidable opponent. And I would not be completely shocked if they beat the Lakers. And I'm not saying this to be full of hyperbole. I'm not saying this because I'm a Laker hater. I'm saying this because I believe the Trailblazers are a two or a three seed masquerading as an eight. You know, Brian was, I thought, was a little disrespectful putting them as low as he did.
Can I get my first disrespectful of the show today?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Disrespectful! Okay. I'll take a really big gulp of air there. Yeah. Because, listen, this is a squad with a guy who continues to be disrespected in Dame Lillard. And every time he's disrespected, what happens, George?
He goes off.
Yeah. He goes off.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? He's not brand new. This dude came into the league and slayed franchises as a rookie. This dude lost LaMarcus Aldridge and said, "I got us," and then didn't lie.
Right.
What are we discussing here? Whether or not a team with a revitalized Carmelo Anthony, with a potential 2020 machine in Nurkic, and obviously with CJ, who can do damage if Dame is having an off night. We've seen him do that countless times. Obviously, this squad is legit and very well could beat the Lakers, who, to be quite honest, after Anthony Davis and LeBron James, we're having debates about which squad is better.
Here's the thing, LC. Like, I mean, are you saying, like, are you giving them, like, a puncher's chance, the Blazers?
Who do you trust more, Kyle Kuzma or Carmelo Anthony?
I mean,
the pause alone is enough. Argument's over.
No. Is neither an option? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Who do you trust more? Who do you think is going to be more productive for them? The combination of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, or the combination of, assuming Collins is able to come back, and Nurkic?
Well, Collins has been pretty bad in the bubble, I think. And Nurkic has been fantastic. And I certainly don't trust Whiteside. So
no, that's why I didn't mention his name.
Right. I just don't see a situation where, like, the Lakers, if you look at what they've done defensively, granted, I don't think the bubble, you should take the bubble, you take the bubble with a grain of salt, okay? Because I do think that it was very clear
bubble?
To me. Yeah, you could put some salt in the bubble. It looked very clear.
Does it
have to
go into quarantine first?
It does, yes, for four games. It looked very clear to me that the Lakers were trying some stuff. And LeBron alluded to this at, I want to say, like three or four games into it, right before whatever day it was that he took the game off, where he's like, there's just some stuff that's hard to replicate, which is why the stuff Brian was saying, I think, has some validity to it. But I think that all that is beyond this now, because the first game, LeBron, after taking the day off or the game off, LeBron came back and was LeBron James again. So whatever LeBron was dealing with, he's now dealt with it, and that's behind him. So I just don't see where that guy doesn't control the game and Anthony Davis doesn't go out there, who has had great games against this Blazers squad, and control the game. So for as much as Damian Lillard has been good, I do think that Frank Vogel has been one of the better defensive coaches in the league this year, and I trust him to devise a plan that will at least limit them, not to mention that CJ McCollum, is playing with a broken back. He needs a bacchiotomy.
Is that a real word, by the way? It just sounds fake.
Bacchiotomy? No, it's completely fake. It's from the movie Half-Baked.
Okay, good. Listen, I hear what you're saying, George. I really, really do. And I have confidence that the Lakers will beat the Blazers and move on. My only thing is that this is a legitimate squad. This should be viewed as either a semi-conference or conference final matchup, not a first round of the playoffs, and that they can't allow certain things to happen, which is Dame to continue to be hot. And if you're going to allow him to be hot, then what you can't have happen then is CJ and Carmelo Anthony being in a groove. You need to make sure those pieces are interrupted, because I don't believe the overall impact of the game that Dame has compares to LeBron James, who will be at full tilt. To your point, LeBron James can control the game without taking a shot. Dame Lillard is really good in a high screen and roll situation, so he can get you in trouble in terms of penetrating and obviously dishing and kicking it out and things like that. I say the philosophy needs to be, let Dame eat, starve everyone else, you win going away. If you let everybody else get a little something from that buffet table and Dame gets to have the entree, that's the series, man, and that's a problem.
Yeah, look, Dame is a problem. I'm not disputing that part of this equation by any stretch of the imagination, all right? Damian Lillard is the guy that came into Staples Center on the first night, after the Lakers came back from the tragedy of Kobe Bryant and was out there.
Didn't even care.
Right. And he said in the post-game interview, I'll never forget, he said, the best way to pay tribute to Kobe is come out here and ball out like I did tonight. And so he's got no fear. Right? Like, man. I'm with you on that. But I don't trust the rest of that squad, man. You know what I mean? And by the way, they have to be exhausted at some point.
You don't trust CJ? What more does the man need to do?
No, not right now. He's not playing great.
What more does he need to do? All right? So you don't trust him. You don't trust Nurkic? You don't trust Nurkic?
Nurkic is playing very well. That's only two guys, though. But, like, Yusuf Nurkic.
You don't trust Carmelo?
No. I know he's played well in the bubble, but I don't.
They seem to be really, really high on him because he keeps getting these clutch last-minute shots in the fourth quarter that fall down. You sure you don't want to?
Because he's open. Yeah, but he's playing the Grizzlies. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at the matchups that he's faced in those games. Like, this is the playoffs now. You're going to scheme every single day for this stuff. Like, there are going to be no surprises anymore. I mean, maybe there will be from game to game, but that stuff will get remedied quickly. This isn't the regular season anymore.
Why you keep saying this isn't Memphis? Like, that's the only team they faced.
No, I know, but Carmelo had...
They beat Philly, Dallas.
Yeah. Carmelo had three good games, or four good games in the bubble. And, you know, I think you also have to look at the competition a little bit, too.
I don't know, man. It feels as if, like, Carmelo looks as if he is revitalized. He certainly has a man with an axe to grind, regardless of what he may say in terms of, you know, reaching a spiritual enlightenment and meditation or whatever BS he wants to try and tell us that he's going through. We know he wants revenge. This league tried to cancel him. And he apparently,
No.
He steals buckets.
Yes.
And apparently he steals a lot of buckets.
Yes.
So I'm saying is that, if you're telling me that Carmelo is going to be ISO'd on the wing against Kyle Kuzma, whose defense has increased, I'm still taking Carmelo in that matchup right now.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I would not, personally, because I think that Kuzma has elevated his game. I think Kuzma is also – I think the restart has helped him a lot. We forget that at the beginning of the season, you know, he was injured off the Team USA stuff. He really didn't get a chance to gel with this team the first go-around. He's starting to play a lot better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But do I trust him? I mean, that's a difficult question to answer because, again, I'm not putting a ton of stock in the bubble just yet. Like, this is the moment of truth. This is what Kyle Kuzma signed up for, the pressure of this particular situation.
Well, then here's the question then, buddy. If it boils down to the series having an X factor that decides the outcome, who's more likely to have that X factor? The roster you see with the Lakers or the roster you see with the Trailblazers? And again, I'm not counting our top tier guys as X factors. I mean someone who's bumped up their offense, who's bumped up their defense, who's made hustle plays, who's gotten you extra boards you weren't anticipating, whose roster is more likely to have that X-factor guy. Because in my opinion, that X-factor guy just very well may be Carmelo.
Okay, I will answer that on the other side. All right, 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. So, LZ, you're asking me which roster I trust more, like an overall roster, right?
Which overall roster do you believe is more likely to have an impactful X factor? Not the top tier guys, but once you get past the backcourt in Portland and then obviously AD and LeBron.
I will tell you this. I trust the Lakers more, and here's why. Because when you have LeBron and AD on your side, which are complete mismatches, okay, you're going to get open looks. Even the game the Lakers got beat by Toronto, okay, where they doubled AD a ton, AD did the right thing in moving the ball, the Lakers got good looks. The Lakers are in the top half of the, or the top 10 in the league in quality shot taking, okay? So basically what that says to me is as long as you give a professional basketball player open looks, I trust them to knock it down, whether that's Danny Green, whether that's Kyle Kuzma, whether that's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, whether that's Deion Waiters, whoever's going to be out there with them, Alex Caruso, I trust that they're going to knock down open looks.
Did you feel that way about Ben Simmons, or should I wait and bring that up later?
Oh, well, you know, Ben Simmons, we can talk about Ben Simmons if you want now.
We'll save that till later. I told you about that young man, I told you about
what
that.
What did
young
you tell
man?
Me? He's great.
He's good.
No, he's great, and he doesn't have a jumper, which is scary.
Yeah, he's good. He could be great if he had a jumper, but he's good. You can't be great if I can leave you open from 17 feet.
All right, I'm
going to
put up the first poll. That's it.
Okay.
Poll, is Ben Simmons great? That's it.
Is he good or is he great?
Is Ben Simmons, okay, fine. Is Ben Simmons good or great? Let me bring in Greg Bergman here into the show for a second. Greg Bergman, you are a Laker boy, as we like to call you around here. What do you
apparently
make of
like
this?
To call you fat too, apparently.
Yeah, but he's lost 15 pounds. Good for you.
15. 15 pounds, LZ.
Good for you, Greg Bergman.
Thank you.
So what do you make of LZ's LZ trusting the others for the Blazers more than the Lakers?
You know what I watched over this weekend? I saw the Blazers against Memphis, and I saw them against the Nets, and I saw an undersized Nets team completely out-rebound them multiple times, and offensive rebounds too. You can't do that against Lakers team. So as they have a bad defense, where they give up some of the most points in the NBA, with I think around 116 a game.
Yeah, they're ranked 27th. It's terrible.
Right, it's really bad. And going up against one of the better offenses with LeBron and AD, I mean, you have nobody on that team that is going to guard LeBron. There's nobody on that team that is going to guard AD. So you have that's going to be at easily 60 points between the two of them in some way, shape, or form. And then to try and have – there's nobody to guard any of these guys. I'm sorry, you can let Damian Lillard kind of go off, but there's no defense or rebounding whatsoever that's going to go
against
this
team. But here's the thing, G. I can look at the Blazers roster and legitimately say they got three guys that can give you 30 at any point.
I mean, you're putting a lot of trust in CJ McCollum when he hasn't played very well.
And he has a hurt back.
He needs a backsectomy, apparently. But all I'm saying is that I saw CJ close out of Series 2 when Dame wasn't healthy last season. So I know what he can do in these big-time moments, too. I don't know why y'all disrespecting these initials, but as a fellow initial basketball player, I would like to defend the initials that are in this conversation. The CJs, they deserve all the love, too.
Look, CJ McCollum was very good last year. He is not that guy right now with a bacchiotomy in place.
Yeah, and by the way, he was good against Memphis. He was good, but he has had some rough games in the bubble.
Why do y'all keep yelling about Memphis? Why y'all hating on Memphis? They lost their leading scorer, for heaven's sakes. They're a positive story.
Because they are a good story, but they're not that good. Like, you shouldn't be struggling like that with them without Jaren Jackson Jr.
Right. They lost one of their top players in Jaren Jackson, and they're still taking – Memphis is going to the very last second with them. I mean, like, come on.
Okay.
This is a totally different team.
Let's hear from the people. 877-710-ESPN. Donovan is in Fullerton. Donovan, what do you got?
I got this. Damian Lillard had to average 50 a game just for them to go down to the final possession. He's not getting 50 a game against the Lakers with that defense. And like the guy just said, they're going to crash the boards. Lakers got Dwight Howard, AD, Kuz, LeBron. They're going to out-rebound Blazers and score on them at will.
Thank All right, you. Average. Okay, averaging 50 is aggressive. Think he got 50 twice, right?
Well, no, he actually averaged like 47, 48 points a game in the bubble. It was like incredible.
I'm looking at his season because everyone's got those stretches during the regular season. I think at one point James Harden was averaging like 90 points or something over a 10-game stretch or something. So overall in the season, he's giving you 30. And no one besides Wilt, Kareem, and MJ scores more points against the Lakers in their career than Dame Lillard.
Listen, and he's great. No one is denying how great he is. I just don't trust the rest of that group.
And he's great against the Lakers.
Exactly, but I don't trust the rest of that group like you do.
Let's see. So CJ scored 25 against Brooklyn, 16 against the 76ers, 29 against the Clippers, 20 against Houston, 17 against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, but what about all these? What about these games here where he had like what was it? Dallas. He was 2 of 14.
He was 2 of 14.
5 of 14 against Denver. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not a good game. Like even 7 of 17 against Philly's not a good game.
No. It's not a good shooting game. I agree with that. It's not a good shooting game. But his constant threat on the court has to be respected.
Yeah, and because no, we know I respect him. And I just
because
don't think...
we know what he can do, George, when he gets going.
Yeah, I don't disrespect him. What I'm saying is I just think that beyond those two, like there's not a lot there, you know what I mean, that the Lakers can't contend with. Let me go to Marcus in L.A. Marcus, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
What's up, bro?
I have got the solution to all our problems, okay?
Oh, all right. The problems? Because I got a long list.
And by the way, you guys, LZ, man, we miss you in the morning. Miss you, man. But anyway, check this out. The Lakers trade for Steph Curry just for the series. Dame Lillard sees him in the layup line. He pulls a hamstring. He's out for the series, and we trade Steph back. Remember last year, people have forgotten, Steph Curry destroyed him. Destroyed Dame until he quit in game 4. They got swept without Kevin Durant. Curry averaged 40. Dame was like in the low 20s at 37%. Get Steph. Dame pulls a hamstring, he's out for the series, and we trade him back, and we win the four games. It's that simple. He is scared to death of Steph Curry, okay? And everybody anointing Dame, every time somebody's a media darling before they've won anything, I'm skeptical.
Yeah. Thanks. All right, Marcus. I got to run, buddy. We're up against it because we got to talk to Mark Spears of the Undefeated. He's in the bubble. We'll talk to him about this. We'll get his thoughts on the Clippers-Mavs series. I want to talk to him about some of the other stuff going on in the NBA. Mark Spears of the Undefeated and ESPN NBA coverage joins us in 3 minutes. LZ, you got a chance to hear the sultry sounds of Karen Kay, who I've known for many, many, many years. I think I've now known her. It's been 16 years since I've known Karen Kay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she kept
her cat for you for how long?
Well, here's the thing. So we used to all work together, and she always used to talk about her dog. She's a big bulldog fan, right? She has bulldogs. She's had bulldogs for many, many years. And then I found out one day she mentioned a cat. And I'm like, wait a second, we've worked together for like 2 years, and now it's the first time you mentioned a cat? So we would just, you know, clearly she's a dog person that tries to love cats. You know, she tries to be equal opportunity with animals, but clearly we know she's more of a dog person. So.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't trust people who have a lot of cats.
I kind of don't blame you. I got to be honest with you. So.
I'll give you a little side eye look, like, because cats don't usually give you a whole lot, right? Like, they're not really trying to do any tricks. You know, they're not doing adorable. They're like, you know, they're adult children living in your house. And they kind of despise the fact that you're there, but they kind of need you around to pay the bills. That's how I feel like cats treat you. Dogs love you no matter what. If you're drowning, they save you. If you laugh, they laugh with you. I've seen dogs play piano and sing Luther Vandross. Dogs are fantastic.
They are.
Cats?
Yes.
Cats are pets for people who aren't committed.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I would say so, too. I think that if you're strictly a cat person, I have questions.
Lots of questions.
Yeah.
When did this illness start? Have you tried getting help? You know, those are some of the questions I would ask.
Yes. LZ, I saw this today before we get to Mark Spears, who will join us here in a second. There is a survey going on the Daily Meal. It's one of my favorite websites. It's obviously a food blog and a food site. And they did a survey of the best chicken sandwiches in America. And one of the chicken sandwiches that was named on their list was here in Los Angeles. Would you like to take a guess?
Huh. I'm big fans of the chicken sandwich that they sell at LAFC. inside their special little, whatever that place is
called.
It is
good. I have had that. Yes, it is very good.
That's a good-ass sandwich,
man. It really
is.
It really is. I have been there, and I have had it. It's excellent. But no, it's not. It's Howlin' Rays. Okay. Have you had Howlin' Rays before?
I have not. Go on.
Oh, man. So first of all, my only problem with Howlin' Rays is this, okay? And I know the audience will be able to weigh in on this at 877-710-ESPN. It is delicious. Now, I've had it because it was once catered to the TV building. And I had it, and it is as good a chicken sandwich as I've had maybe ever, okay? And so it is as good as advertised. The problem is it's one of those places where you have to wait in line. There is no calling ahead, and the line sometimes is an hour, and you have to sit there. And the problem is I'm not waiting an hour or 90 minutes for a chicken sandwich. I don't care how good it is.
You're not? Why wouldn't you wait that long for a chicken sandwich if you're just going to go somewhere quicker and not be satisfied?
It depends, because I can get some satisfaction out of the quicker place. Like it's not like I'm getting, I may be able to get ultimate satisfaction out of Howlin' Rays, which is unbelievable, but I'd rather pay someone to stand in line for me. Seriously.
So you were married at six just because they said yes, even though that 10.
No, there's a difference. There's a difference.
Thinking about it, and you're not waiting. You're not being patient. I want the six because I've already got the date
book. No. First of all, there's a pretty big difference between the type of chicken sandwiches I want to eat and the person I plan on spending the rest of my life with. Okay. Like, there are degrees to this. All right.
This is very close to me. It's very close.
Yeah. Maybe for you, not so much for me. But Howlin' Rays
chicken sandwiches, dog.
Howlin' Rays in Chinatown is delicious. And shout out to Chauncey Billups, who catered it one time at the TV building, and that's where I was able to have it. But I don't know about you, Laura. Would you wait an hour or 90 minutes for a chicken sandwich, regardless of how good it is?
I probably would if it was that good. I'm really? Down. I love chicken, man. So I'm waiting for
that. That's too much for me.
So describe it to me. Like, they don't over fixins, do they?
No.
Like too much lettuce, a coleslaw.
It's
whatever
spicy. It's got slaw. It's got pickles in it. It is delicious.
How's the bun? Is the bun toasted?
It's perfectly toasted. It's good. Like it is. And look, the sauce, the buttery bun, the coleslaw, the pickles, all of it is good. I don't even like pickles, okay? But I'll eat it on that sandwich.
Huh. All right. Okay, well, if America ever returns to normal, I'll try your chicken sandwich and give you a full report.
Okay. Well, I'd love to hear from the audience if they feel like they've had a better chicken sandwich here in L.A. than Howlin' Rays. It has been named the best chicken sandwich here. It is on one of the top 10 chicken. It's number 9 on the top 10 chicken sandwich list, according to the Daily Meal.
Who's number 1?
I will tell you right now. Let me scroll.
I'm really curious.
It is a place called the Winking Lizard Tavern in Peninsula, Ohio.
That's false.
Yeah.
That's false. I've lived in Michigan most of my life. Ain't nothing good from Ohio.
Yeah.
Chicken sandwiches or otherwise.
Now, the second one, I've never eaten here, but this thing does look delicious, the picture. Okay. I will say this. The Winking Lizard picture does not do it any justice, but there's a place called the Royal Rooster in Denver that does make it look great.
Hmm. Have I eaten there? You know what? We may have to take this show, even though we just got started, we may have to take it on tour to all 10 of these locations, and then we decide for the country who has the best chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just got to find a sponsor.
Yeah. Greg Bergman, you wanted to weigh in on this?
No, all I know is that people went crazy for that Popeye's chicken sandwich. I never had it, but people went bananas.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing, all right? So people were treating the Chick-fil-A sandwiches like it was crack, right?
Right.
But
they're fine.
They're good.
No, they're fine.
They're fine. But because the mediocre, in my opinion, was elevated to fine and even great, when something good showed up, people lost their minds because there's nowhere else to go. But crazy.
Yes.
That's the difference. If they had properly seen Chick-fil-A for what it was, which is a fine little sandwich, and didn't treat it as if it was a gift from God, then we would have had somewhere to go with the Popeye's chicken sandwich. There was nothing left but the cliff. That's what happened.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I mean, they got good fries. That's all I know.
Who's got good fries?
Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has
good fries. Their waffle fries are fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Oh, they're good. They're delicious.
Yeah. They're fine. But I'm with you.
I'm looking up Howlin' Rays right now.
It's really good. My mouth
all watering and stuff. I'm all messed up.
It is really good. I mean, you live downtown. Chinatown's right there.
Is it?
I mean, it's right there. By LA standards, that's close.
Oh, no, that's like 15, 20 minutes still. That's not a short little drive.
Yeah, it's not that.
I mean, it's a lot closer than most people. You know what I'm saying?
Still not walking distance. Like, you're not
No, but you can take an Uber or Lyft or something right there real quick.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit leery of Uber or Lyft right now.
Oh, we'll get to that. We will get to that. We'll do that in a little bit. Coming up, what you need to know, we'll get into the Dodgers. Man, the Dodgers are dominating. We will tell you what has really been the big thing with their surge here of late. We'll get to that. We'll get back to the Lakers. We'll get into some of the Clippers and Mavs, and maybe we'll catch up with Mark Spears a little later. What you need to know, we're giving you the top stories that are going on around the country right now. The NBA playoffs have started, LZ. Denver defeated Utah in overtime. Donovan Mitchell, though, went for 59 points in this game, but Jamal Murray was a big-time closer for the Denver Nuggets. What did you make of that particular affair?
I thought, one, that neither one of those guys is going to shoot like that for game two, so we should probably soak it in and remember. But more importantly, the game turned on what seemed like an innocuous turnover by Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
An 8-second call, but everything changed after that. Everything.
Well, it felt like to me as I watched that game that it was just too much on Donovan Mitchell's shoulders, right? Like, nobody else was doing anything. So I feel like that became kind of the big problem for them, and they just kind of ran out of gas, you know, once the overtime hit.
Were you as aware as how bad of an offensive player Rudy Gobert was until then?
No, I'm very familiar. And the funny thing is he wants more touches.
He can barely catch the ball now.
I know. It's crazy.
What's happening here?
He's so good on defense, too. If he stopped worrying about the offensive side, like, it kind of reminds me of Dwight. Remember Shaq got into Dwight's head? Like, Dwight was this great pick-and-roll player, and then Shaq got in his head by saying he couldn't post up when he got to the Lakers, and poor Mike D'Antoni got screwed because he wouldn't pick-and-roll anymore with Steve Nash or Kobe or anyone. Like, the early part of that season was a disaster. And it reminds me of that. Like, guys just kind of get in their own head. They let people talk them into other stuff that they're not necessarily good at.
Yeah, the only thing I would think that Rudy Gobert would need to add, because he won't have any post moves, that's a wrap.
Right.
But he can develop a floater. You know, he doesn't have to roll all the way to the basket. If he can learn to flip it the way that Nurkic can flip it, the way that Jokic can flip it, I think he'll be a lot better off offensively. But throwing him the ball in the paint, to your point, hell no.
Yeah, no doubt. Nets and Raptors. Raptors, you know, kicked their butt, so we don't need to talk about them. But just if you wanted to know, the Raptors won big. Next story, Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, has started a player petition for college football, LZ. He wants the Big Ten to play football. Are you with Justin Fields on this, or are you with the folks at the Big Ten who want to cancel the season or at least postpone it till the spring?
I'm with both of them. And I know it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but let me explain. I am never, ever going to poo-poo leadership coming from a 21-year-old on that level. Not going to do it. Even if I disagree with what he's trying to lead towards, because it's not anything awful or illegal or nefarious. He just wants to play. And I love the fact that he has taken initiative to kind of lead this charge. With that being said, he's wrong. He's a child. He wants to play football. Yeah. I get it. The officials made the right decision. This is nothing to toy with. This is a deadly virus that we just have fatigue from, but he hasn't got fatigue from us.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, no offense to the young man. I do appreciate his candor, his feelings, his passion. But yeah, it's time to listen to the adults. And by the way, if you're Justin Fields, you're going to be a top 5 pick in the draft. There's no need for you to play. Like, if I were his father or someone in his family, I'd be like, young man, don't even worry about it. Our future is secure. Your future is secure. Just worry about staying healthy and listen to the adults. So that's how I would advise him as well. Next, the Washington football team, LZ, hires Jason Wright, the first black president in the franchise's history. Do you believe in the merits of this hire? Keyshawn said this morning on the morning show he believed that it was Daniel Snyder succumbing to pressure. How do you feel about the situation?
I agree with Key. Dan already showed us who he was. Mm-hmm. He showed us multiple times who he was. He didn't have an epiphany. He didn't come to Jesus. Jesus may try to come to him, but he didn't come to Jesus on this.
Right.
He was under pressure. But shame on the NFL. Shame on the NFL.
Yeah.
That it took this moment to hire that brother.
Crazy.
It's crazy that this country got a black president before the NFL had a black president. Come on now.
Right. That's the insane part of all this. That, yeah, I mean, think about it. A sport dominated by black people, right? Like 70% of the league is black. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how does this take so long? But again, it's why the Rooney Rule is in place, and it's why I'm in favor of expanding the Rooney Rule even further. And I know what the fight back on that is, because it's usually about affirmative action, and, you know, if you put, you know, that certain people feel that if you put their name, right, or the ethnicity on an application, let's say, that automatically means a minority is going to get the job. Actually, the studies show that it's the opposite of that. That yep. Once you put the ethnicity down there, the opposite tends to happen. So it has the actual opposite effect. But look, better late than never, LZ. You know, at least someone had to be the first, and I'm glad it's him based on his resume.
Can I just add, by the way, that there's no greater affirmative action in this country, in my opinion, than nepotism. And I think the NFL is full of it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So if you want to talk about, you know, a little affirmative action, the black man who graduated with an MBA from the University of Chicago, which, oh, by the way, is the same school that, you know, developed the atomic bomb where Adam Silver came from.
Right.
So if you think he's pretty smart, that's where that brother graduated from. That's not affirmative action. Affirmative action is hiring your son to do stuff with no qualifications. That's affirmative action.
Yep. All right, that's what you need to know. Still unsullied by sponsorship. So there you have it. Maybe one day it will be sullied by sponsorship, but not right now. Ooh. That's for sure.
I want to get dirty. Let's get dirty.
All right, LZ, I want to talk Dodgers here real quick before we get back to the Lakers here in a second. So the Dodgers are on a tear, okay? They have been playing fantastic baseball. And by the way, I know that Mookie Betts, those first four or five games were rough. Maybe there were nerves. I don't know. But good God, he's been on a tear since. He has 8 home runs, second most in the majors right now, or in the national, or excuse, no, in the majors right now. So basically, if Mike Trout, and if we lived in a world that Mike Trout didn't exist, it'd be fair to say that Mookie Betts is the best player in the sport, right?
I would say so. I mean, certainly in the, you know, the early going of this 60-game season, whatever the hell this thing is. I don't even want to call it a 60-game season. I want to call it an exhibition. But in any case, yes, not just because he's hot right now, but because, and this isn't fair to Mike Trout, but we do this in the NBA, we do this in football, we do this in tennis, we do this in every single sport. So I'm not going to exclude baseball just because it's harder to kind of do as an individual. If you win a championship and you're the leader of that championship squad, you're just on a different level. And I know it's not fair. I know it's not fair. I get it. But we do it with every other sport, George. We do it with every other sport. Look how many men are involved with winning a Super Bowl. But how do we judge players? How do we judge quarterbacks in particular, coaches, on championships? So in my opinion, my humble opinion, and as the caller said, it's hard to get on the hype machine when you haven't won anything. And he's got all the great stats, and it's not his fault. But Mookie's got the ring, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might was the leader.
And he's going to probably get another one here. Real quick, Mark Spears is on the line. We want to talk to him in just a second. We're able to locate him. Greg, you've got some amazing stats on Mookie Betts that you picked up this afternoon that you bestowed upon us. Tell the people real quick, and we'll get back to the Dodgers in a second.
And this came from Sarah Langs, who's fantastic on Twitter, S-Langs on Twitter. It's Mookie Betts has had a 99% contact rate against pitchers in the zone. He's taken 101 swings at pitches and has made contact with 100 of them. One. He missed
That's crazy.
One.
Wait, what?
Out of all the pitches one. That he has seen what? In the zone, there's 101 total pitches he has seen in the zone, in the strike zone. He's Swing. Made contact on 100 of 101 pitches in the zone.
What happened with that one? Did something get in his eye?
Maybe. Yeah, it was like a fly or something.
I need answers. Man, yeah. Listen, that's why we gave him money before he even played a single game.
Right.
We knew what that was. We traded for him.
That's all you need to know. And that's why we got Mark Spears on the phone, because Mark Spears – I know he's a big MLB The Show guy, so I know he fears every time Mookie Betts comes up to bat against him. Right, Mark Spears?
Mookie Betts can't beat the Oakland Athletics by himself.
Calm down now. You've had a hot start. Calm down now. Let's not overhype it.
Hey, We got, hey man, we got some unfinished business, man.
From when? The Bass Brothers? What are you talking about? From when? When is this unfinished business?
Man, they've been good the last couple years. Yeah.
Waiting for Moneyball to get cash here?
I can't believe what I just saw. I still remember that.
They made a movie about them, okay? Like, you know, there is that too.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark Spears of The Undefeated with us here. Does a phenomenal job as a columnist there and, of course, covering the NBA for us here at ESPN. Good to catch up with you. How is the bubble treating you before we get into some game talk?
Man, it's went fishing yesterday with Sean Powell, and I didn't want to do no baby fishing where they put me where all the fish feed and it's easy to catch. I'm trying to, like, leave here with some kind of hobby that I picked up. Something that I didn't do before, and to me it's fishing. And I didn't catch a thing this time, but now the fishermen will laugh. I'm putting on my own bait. If I caught something, I was going to figure out how to
hook it
and throw it back. But, this is going to be my new hobby.
Popeye
Jones, who I've told is the second best fisher here, I'm going to get some time with him. He's going to teach me some tricks. But believe it or not, one of the fishing guides told me the best here by far is Paul George.
Okay.
Now, wait. You lost me with throw it back. You're throwing the fish back?
You can't. Oh, you don't want to eat them.
I mean, you ain't you eating that fish them. In
they
the
got,
pond in Orlando. Come on.
They got all the ash from the fireworks over at, you know, Disney World. They might have three eyes or something.
Yeah, you don't mess with that.
No, we don't need to eat that fish. I'm trying to. I'm getting COVID tests every day. I'm healthy. I'm not trying to get sick off Mickey Mouse fish.
This is when you become a fisherman, my friend, because I've fished my entire life.
Then we're going to have to go, man.
When you throw that line in and you know that's food and that's dinner, that's a different situation. See, the fish all talk, man. They're like going, hey, don't worry about it, dog. Yeah. They throw you back in anyway. That's not even real.
Hey, let me tell you something. If it was up to me, everybody would be hungry. I ain't catching nothing right now.
There you go. Mark Spears of The Undefeated, ESPN NBA coverage as well, joining us here. All right, Mark, listen, I know you sat there. I don't know if you had wine with Damian Lillard. I know you did that great interview with him. And we know you're a big wine drinker, and we know that CJ McCollum's got his room to 50 degrees with the wine. But look, for all the love the Blazers are getting, and deservedly so, does the buck stop now? Because there's a lot of hype about them maybe not only pushing the Lakers, but potentially beating the Lakers. Where are you on all that?
The Lakers better win, for sure. But I'll tell you what, it's funny, and I apologize for being late. The reason why I was late was I was doing a little TV hit about the Blazers. And so I talked to Damon Lillard today. He was in the building. Remember when Kirilenko got dunked on by Baron Davis? We Believe Warriors team. He's been inspired by them. He liked their toughness. He liked their confidence. He liked their swag. And on the flip side, Terry Stotts, the coach of the Blazers, was an assistant coach with the Sonics when they got beat by the Nuggets in 1994. Remember, Dikembe holding the ball and everything on the floor. So they've seen what it takes for an 8 seed to win. Blazers have that kind of confidence. They still remember Dame hitting 48 when the Lakers played their first game after Kobe passed. And, you know, their best defender against guards is not playing. Rondo is also not playing. So I think, you know, how do you stop Dame? What do you do? The key thing is, okay, is CJ healthy? Those two days off are helping him dramatically. I think CJ's best game may be in game one. But after that, I'm really, really worried about the fracture in his back and how it's going to affect him playing every other day.
When you think about where the Lakers are strongest, which is in the front court, and where the Lakers are weakest, which is obviously the back court, as you mentioned, how do you feel the X factor is going to play out? Is it going to come from someone in the front court, or is it come from someone else in the back court, like maybe a Gary Trent Jr. or an Alex Caruso?
Well, for the Blazers, they're going to need Trent to play great defense. The Blazers' defense, to me, has been pretty much atrocious, especially from the big Nurkic couldn't guard a shadow, and you could kind of score on him at will. So I think they're going to have to certainly be really, really creative. They're going to use this kid named Wenyen Gabriel, who Dame feels like he can't stop LeBron, but he, you know, can make him work. I just think that the Lakers, you know, their size can get countered by the Blazers, but other than Whiteside, I mean, they're going to have to play him a lot, I think. They should be scoring easily, driving to the basket. They're going to get a lot of easy buckets, and ultimately, I think that's going to be the big difference in the series, is not being able to stop LeBron, not being able to stop Anthony Davis scoring, or Kuzma in the front court. That being said, you could see Dame Lillard having a game, you know, a 60-pointer if he needs to. And I don't know that anybody from the Lakers can stop that. So tomorrow night, man, it's going to be interesting. And I do think if Portland's going to make this a series, they definitely have to win tomorrow night to kind of, I guess, show what they're really about.
Yep, I'm with you. Mark Spears with us here of the Undefeated columnist. Great columnist for the Undefeated and, of course, covers the NBA for us at ESPN. Clippers and Mavs. Do you believe that the Clippers have basically been rope-a-doping us and now all season, and now we can see them actually flip a switch and show us the promise that we were expecting?
Well, you better hope so, because Dallas, they're for real. I mean, Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, you know, they're hungry. They got a lot of swag. They don't care who the Clippers are, and they'd like to smell blood. I don't know that they have the supporting cast that could help them get there, but Doncic is one of them guys who could do a Damian Lillard, you know, who could do a Donovan Mitchell, who could have a really, really big series and kind of mess up everything. But I just think the Clippers from front to back have too much firepower. I saw Harrell today. I guess did he get out of quarantine this morning? I saw him on the back of a scooter, or not a scooter, like a little cart, getting carted away after I think he may have finished quarantine this morning and got carted away to the varsity hotel instead of the JV one where we're at. So,
were his locks
they
fresh?
They haven't practiced much together. What'd you say?
Were his locks fresh? Could you tell if he had just got them done or not?
Not as nice as yours.
I'm looking rough right now, Spears, man. You don't want to see this live. It's been a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm going off of past memory.
Okay. I'm always fascinated with the guys in the bubble who shows up like AD with fresh twists or fresh locks. I'm like, going, who did you bring in?
Well, they got it. No, they got a whole hair thing here. Like, I get my hair cut every Friday. It's funny, you know, they got the white journalists are getting fades now, man. They looking like they, you know, hanging out with the brothers. Yeah, they all got these nice fades now, and you know, got a half moon in the side of the head. So, but you could get your hair braided here, you could get it twisted, you could get it cut, you could get a mani-pedi. Now they have all that available. You know, we got to look good on TV, right?
There you go. Mark, let me ask you this. Outside of those two series, obviously those are the most important here. There's some news in the NBA. The Pelicans let go of Alvin Gentry. David Griffin says it's the most attractive job in the NBA at the moment. What do you make of that statement, and who do you believe will end up being the coach there?
I didn't really agree with that firing, but, you know, even though David Griffin and Gentry had a history, David Griffin is new there, and he inherited Alvin, and I think he wants to bring his own identity. Is that the best job? Is there a promise that Zion's going to be healthy? That's the thing. You know, is there a promise that they're going to re-sign Brandon Ingram? It could be the best job. I just there's too many question marks right now. Chicago Bulls job, man. I think the best job is Brooklyn. They got this guy named Kevin Durant that's going to be on the roster next season. They got this guy that Kyrie Irving is going to be at a roster next season. Caris LeVert is pretty great. I would venture to say that the Nets job might be a little better than New Orleans.
So who gets those jobs? Sorry, LZ, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm curious too. Who do you think is in the running?
I'll say keep an eye locally, man. I'm really keeping an eye on Jason Kidd. I think he'll be in the mix for a few of those jobs, as well as, you know, Phil Handy is really, really close with Kyrie Irving. He could be in the mix there. Then Sam Cassell got a chance to coach the second half the other day. I think he'll be in there. And but right now, if I'm a team, like, man, there's so much unknown. Like, are you rushing to hire a coach? Are you rushing to pay somebody? Do you know when the season's going to be? Like, I keep hearing talk about now February or March. Yeah, what you going to hire a coach to do? Sit at home and collect a check? So, I just think that we all got to be patient and we all got to wait. And I hope there's a vaccine, man. Trust me, man. I hope people finally get it to wear their mask, but I don't trust either thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a season starting in February or March next year that, you know, if it's starting in January, then it's probably going to be still bubblicious. But if not, then I'm hoping that if it takes us to get to March to be able to bring fans back and the NBA to make money off the seats, then wait till March.
Yeah, you know, it is tricky when you're thinking about, and you bring a good point, not just the hiring of head coaches, but just what are you going to do just in terms of movement with player, assistant coaches, obviously. I mean, there's so much going on in terms of moving parts that I don't think you can go full steam ahead on when you don't know when you're going to restart. And it is a perplexing situation if you are, you know, running a team president or something of that nature. But with all that being said, there have been teams like the Portland Trail Blazers who have benefited from being bubblicious. Outside of the team we're facing the first round.
Hey, we got to coin that now. That was the first time I used it.
The bubblicious? I've actually just put sand on the paperwork. I was moving real quickly with that. That's why I wasn't talking earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be fast with that, bro. Got to be fast. Which other team or player?
Give me a percentage. Just give me a percentage. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a check. No, actually, I won't put it in the mail because don't tell me when it'll get there now. I'll send you like Venmo or something. Yeah, we're going through some
stuff.
But which other franchise or player specifically has really benefited, in your opinion, from the bubble? And can they continue now that we're in the playoffs outside of Portland?
Michael Porter Jr., I think, has looked great. And obviously he has to get better on the defensive end, but he looks kind of like a KD Jr. offensively. I think the Clippers have benefited from it, but you would think they did because now the hope was, okay, everybody goes to the bubble and they'll finally get their training camp. And then, you know, tragedies happen with Lou and Harrell and Pat. They kept them from having those things. The good thing, though, is now you have a healthy Kawhi Leonard and you have a healthy PG. That helped them dramatically. I mean, the ability to do that for Portland. If you guys would have played Portland 2 months ago, 3 months ago, would Nurkic be playing? Probably not. So he's a new addition that wasn't there before. It allows them to go, Portland go really, really big with him at Whiteside. So, you know, there are some things like that, but I do think for the team, ultimately that will benefit the most from the break will be the Clippers, just because, you know, they'll have everybody healthy. And I think their camaraderie has grown over the last couple months just from texting each other and keeping in touch with each other and Zoom meetings and all that.
Mark Spears of The Undefeated, make sure you check out his work there. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, and keep enjoying that bubble and get your fishing game right.
Yeah, man.
Bubblicious, baby.
All right, man. Be good.
After you catch the fish, we got to teach you how to clean it, cook it right. There's steps to this thing, man.
Let's do it, man. LZ, make sure you just know the right watering hole to go fish, man.
I got you, bro. I got you.
All right,
Mark. Take care. Be good, man. There he is. Mark Spears with us here. Hey, Lindsay Theory's going to stop by at 5:30. I'm not great at it. But I don't love it like that. It's just not my thing. And it's weird because I grew up in Florida, so you'd think I'd fish a lot.
I was asking for a specific reason, the Florida thing. I just figured you kind of knew. But
yeah.
No?
Not my thing. All right. Coming up next, LZ, a former player here at ESPN is in with you on the Blazers. I'll tell people who it is in just a moment. And Mark Jones just laid out the best play-by-play take I've ever seen in a basketball game in my entire life. We'll get to that coming up in just a second. Stick around. Don't forget Lindsay Theory. We'll talk football with her at 5:30. Sedano and LZ, we're back in 2.5 minutes.